Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
What I want to do in the next few moments, I want to talk to you about something that I think God wants to work into your life. One of the things that God wants us to be is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, is the way Paul puts it in Ephesians. When the Lord is speaking to Joshua as he's getting ready to follow Moses, he commands him over and over again several times. When you read in Deuteronomy and then again in Joshua chapter 1, he tells him to be strong and to be courageous. God wants us to be strong. He wants us to be strong because there are battles that you and I face. All kinds of battles. Battles with the forces of evil. There are the powers of darkness. That's what Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. Battles that come with living in a sin-cursed world. And so things aren't as God intended them to be. Things are different, and there's battles as a result of sin's curse, battles with fatigue and battles with sickness and battles with sin in the lives of people around us and the consequences of that. There are battles. Battles with our own flesh. Then he wants us to be strong because strength is a key to victory. You can't win the battles in life unless you're strong. There are some here tonight, you're facing a battle, and unless you allow the Lord to work in your life, His strength, you're not going to know victory. And then as well, there are people who are relying on us, our strength. They're depending on your strength. You may not know that. You may not think about that. But if you're not strong in the Lord, it's not going to go well for the people who either depend on you or are around you. There are people watching us. People who are observing your testimony. People who are watching the way you do life. If you do it with strength, it will lead to blessing in your own life and in their life. If you are weak, you're going to be defeated, and that's going to affect people around you. So we need strength. It's good to know this. God wants us to be strong. It's His desire that you and I would be strong. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, or the strength of His might. God wants you and I to know a strength that comes from Him. God's, settle it in your heart. God wants you to be strong in Him. The question is everybody in here strong in the Lord? And the answer is, yes, there are some who are, and then there are some who are kind of in the middle, and then there are some who are hanging by a thread. Some who are weak. God wants us to be strong in the Lord. So what I want to do is I want to talk to you about, I want to give you 10 ways, just really quick, and it's not so important to me that you write them down because it's dark and we're not set up to do that. What I'm wanting to do is I'm wanting the Word of God to speak to your heart in a way that will bring about strength in your life, and so it's not important to me that you learn all 10. It's important to me that you let the Spirit of God apply to your heart the one of the 10 or the two of the 10 or the three of the 10 that He wants you to think about. Because all of us find ourselves in different situations and in need of strengthening our life through different means that God makes available to us. He wants us to be strong. The first way that God puts strength in our life, and I mean this list of 10 is not exhaustive, but it certainly gives us a sense of how God works. The first way you and I can become strong is to grow in our knowledge of spiritual principles. To grow in our knowledge of spiritual principles. Listen to this in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 5. The wise are mightier than the strong. Isn't that interesting? So there can be people who are strong in life, seem to have strength, but to be wise is better than to be strong. Unless you're talking of strength in the Lord. How do you get strength in the Lord? Look at this. And those with knowledge grow stronger and stronger. That's why you need to come to church as often as you can. Some of you, you don't come regularly on Wednesday night, but you're here. You made the right choice. It's good for you and I to be in the house of the Lord, because anytime we hear the word of God taught, it strengthens us, because we gain knowledge in spiritual principles. And as we grow in knowledge, we become stronger and stronger in the Lord. Give yourself to being at church, to learning the word of God, to being at life group, to applying the word of God. Grow in your knowledge of the Lord and you'll be strong. It's the second way that you and I grow in strength. Let God's word, live in God's word, and let his word live in you. Live in God's word and let his word live in you. Look at this in Joshua chapter 1. It says this book of the law, this is what God's saying to Joshua. He's saying, be strong and courageous. And then he tells him how to be strong and courageous. Here it is. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. The idea of meditating is that you would chew on it, that you would be talking about it, you would be thinking about it, that you would take the word of God and you would constantly just be visiting it in your mind and visiting about it with your mouth. What is it that you read today from the word of God? What did it mean to you? Have you thought about it through the day? Have you talked about it with somebody else? Have you said, you know what, I was reading today in the Bible about this, and it encouraged me because it said that. Do you realize that just by doing that, you're building strength in your life? That just by having that conversation, you're not only building strength in your life, but you're blessing somebody else, because as you're talking about it, God is using it to build strength in their life? God says, meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do all, to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. You want to be successful. You want to be prosperous. Think on the word of God. Live in the word of God. Let God's word live in you. I mean, John writes this in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. I write you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. Why are they strong? Because God's word is living in them. Psalm 119 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? In other words, how can he live a strong life? How can he live a godly life? By living according to your word. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Live in God's word. Memorize God's word. Talk about God's word. I love to be around people who are full of God's word. My in-laws, one of the most attractive things about their life is to know Tim and Bonnie is to know two people who talk about God's word all the time. I don't know that I ever have many conversations with them that don't sooner or later turn to the word of God as they're thinking about it, as they're meditating on it, as they're talking about it, and they're strong in the Lord because they live in God's word. Number three, give glory to God. Now, we talked a little bit about this last week, and by giving glory to God, certainly worshiping God strengthens us, praising God strengthens us, but giving glory to God is more than just worshiping. Giving glory to God means that you believe God will do the impossible in your situation, and that you are praising him for his answer before he does it. When you do that, it will strengthen you. I mean, it talks about Abraham, who was not weakened in his faith, but gave glory to God. He grew strong in his faith, Romans 4:20, in his faith as he gave glory to God. He didn't become weak, but he grew strong in his faith. How? As he gave glory to God. Now, here's the way it works. There's two kinds of prayer. And I want to suggest to you that one is much less effective than the other. Though all prayer has value as we look to God, there's some prayer that strengthens you and some prayer that strengthens you only when the answer comes, for example. you're up against it. You need a breakthrough. You need a miracle. Here's prayer number one. This is the prayer that helps you when the answer comes, but I don't think does much for you between the time you're praying and the time the answer comes. God, I'm up against it. I don't know what I'm going to do. God, help me. Help me. I'm so weak. I don't know what I'm going to do. God, I hope you'll help me. Now, is God going to help you? Yeah, he answers prayer. That's not like the worst thing in the world to pray that way. There's a big difference between that and, God, you know I'm facing a big problem, but you are a whole lot bigger. And God, I know that you're a God who answers prayer, and I believe that you're going to go before me and you're going to help me. God, I can't wait to see what you're going to do. Your word says that you give strength to those who need it, and you're strengthening me even now as I'm... Do you see the difference? One is the prayer of giving glory to God. God, I thank you that there is no one like you. I thank you you're the God who takes things that are not and calls them as though they are. And this situation may look impossible to men, but it is not impossible to you. And God, I can't wait to see how you're going to work in this situation. And I praise your name because you're a God who does the impossible. Pray that way and watch how you feel about your situation. Watch the kind of strength that you have. You see, there's a difference. A lot of times people spend their time just lamenting before the Lord how they can't make it rather than confidently giving glory to God, praising him, believing he's going to do the impossible. And there's a big difference in how it strengthens or doesn't strengthen your life. You with me on that? Number four, keep your joy in God. Keep your joy in God. Be happy in the Lord. Be happy in him. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says, and I'll say it again, rejoice. And Paul writes that over and over and over in Philippians as he's, at this point, chained to a Roman soldier 24 hours a day. Amazing. He's chained to a Roman soldier. He's writing, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. He's rejoicing in the Lord. And guess what? He is so strong in the Lord as he's writing this, though people are attacking him, though people are falsely accusing him, though he may lose his life, he's not sure to live as Christ, to die as gain. He's writing all these things as he's there in the Philippian jail. By the time he gets down, you know, at the end of the book, he's been chained to a Roman soldier on an 18-inch chain 24 hours a day. 6-hour intervals for each Roman soldier, and these soldiers would be part of the Praetorian Guard, which would be part of Caesar's household. They would guard the family of Caesar and guard Caesar himself. And now it's one thing for Paul to be chained to a Roman soldier, 24 hours a day. It's another thing for a Roman soldier to be chained to the Apostle Paul. And the results are predictable because he's got joy in his heart, and when the soldiers are watching this man who is a prisoner who has joy in his heart, they're getting converted. See, and if you doubt that, you read down at the end of the book of Philippians, and I always smile when I read that. All those in Caesar's household greet you. I mean, they're getting saved in Caesar's household because the man has joy. Listen, when you and I walk in a joy, in a sense of God's goodness and a well-being that he's taking care of us, because joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness is related to happenstance. If things go your way, then you feel good. Joy is different than that. It's a deep-seated sense of God's got everything under control and that it's all going to work out for the good. Because God has promised that it will. When you have that kind of joy, listen to this. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 says this, the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you and I have joy, we're going to be stronger in the Lord. Think of this in Psalm 16 and verse 11. You say, where do I get that joy? In your presence, there is fullness of joy. And here's the psalmist in Psalm 43, and this is at Psalm 42 of Psalm 43, where the psalmist is saying, why art thou downcast, O my soul? Why so discouraged within me? Put your hope in God, for I'll yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And here's what he writes, there I will go to the altar of God, to God the source of all my joy. When you and I would go to God and we're in his presence and he gives us joy, it makes us strong. Number five. Pray. When you and I pray, listen to what Jesus said to Peter in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, watch and pray so you'll not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak, but prayer strengthens our fleshly nature. Strengthens it against sin, I should say. Strengthens us to stand against that. Number six, allow God to strengthen you. And I love this because, you know, it's just like God to ask us to do something and then to help us do it. Have you ever thought about that? He never asks us to do anything he's not going to help us do. He tells us to be strong. He says, be strong in the Lord. That's a command. But watch how this works. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. God wants us to be strong. But listen to this. That word be strong, in the Greek, it's in the passive. In other words, this isn't something you do. It's something God does to you. In other words, it's allow God to make you strong. You know, stand firm. Allow God to make you strong. Be courageous. Allow God to make you strong. Allow God to have His way in your life to strengthen you. God's will is for you to be strong. God wants to strengthen you. How will God strengthen you? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. I pray that from His glorious unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. God wants to strengthen you. You don't have to wonder if He wants you to be strong. He wants to strengthen you. So He wants you to have strength. Number seven, serve God with a wholehearted commitment. You know, there's something about a wholehearted commitment when you're wherever you're at, be all there. That's half the battle to walking in strength. But here's what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. So you know what? God's like this, and God's saying, where is the person who is all about me? Where is the person who's full on for me? I'm going to strengthen them. Talk about a deal. Just be full on for God and watch God make you full of His strength. Just be wholehearted in your devotion to God. And watch what God does in response to that. Here's another way to be strong in the Lord, to walk by faith. I love that faith chapter. It says, by faith, Hebrews 11, 33 and 34, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, received what God had promised them. Then look down toward the end of verse 34. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle. How? By faith. By faith, their weakness was turned into strength. By faith, they became strong in battle. How does that work? God, I believe You're going to take my weakness and make me strong. I believe You're going to give me strength for the battle. I believe You're going to help me fight this fight. I believe You're going to go before me. I believe You're going to give me victory. Just by declaring, just by believing, God, You're going to help me. It strengthens you for God to do exactly that. Sometimes, and you may not feel like it, you know, sometimes you got to get a hold of yourself and tell yourself what you know to be the will of God and the Word of God. And I've used this illustration many times, but it's just very real to me because I know it's true. It works. During a very difficult time, the only time in my ministry at James River, I lost heart. And that is the weirdest thing. I'm happy in looking back that I went through it because I would have never known what it was like to just lose heart. I've never experienced anything like it. It's a horrible feeling, but just to suddenly lose heart. And not lose heart for an afternoon or an evening or for a day, but to go through a season where you've totally lost your heart for the battle. And during that time, God gave me a scripture, Psalm 18:39. He's equipped me with strength for the battle. And what I would do is I would just say, Lord, you've equipped me with strength for the battle. There'd be Sunday mornings, I'd be standing right down here, and the worship would be going on, and I would just know I've lost heart for the battle. I just hate that feeling. And just stand there and say, Lord, you've equipped me with strength for the battle. I know you have. And filling his strength come into my life and enable me to do what humanly I could not have done on my own. You know what? By faith, he equips us with strength for the battle. Here's another way we grow in strength. Number 9, by the words we speak. What words are you speaking? How do you speak about your situation? Some of you tonight, and in a moment, we're going to pray for your situation, but some of you tonight, you're up against it. There's no question. You need God to help you. I just want to ask, how are you talking about that? Are you speaking words of defeat? Are you speaking words that I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if God's going to help me. I don't know if it's going to. Do you realize that every time you doubt God's help or you doubt God's word or you doubt God's goodness, do you realize you're just making yourself even weaker and more demoralized and more discouraged? You say, well, what you're advocating is just some Pollyanna, you know, I don't see anything. I'm just happy. You know what? I would say this. My observation as a pastor is that people who approach life with a faith-filled confidence negotiate all of life's trials with a much greater strength and a much better outcome. You just watch it. You watch what happens. You watch what happens to people around them. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Your words, they're either gonna kill. You can come in, and by the words you speak, you can rob the people around you of faith to believe with you. Or you can come in and you can speak words of life and words of faith that lift people's faith at your job, in your family, in your life group. I mean, I am convinced that what we say has much to do with what we experience in our life. That by and large, we create in many respects the reality in which we live by the words we speak. Now that, I mean, I know some people are like, well, I think that's a little out there. That's, you know, let me just put it to you this way. Go home and speak grouchy, grumpy words tonight and watch the kind of reality you live in. Or go home and speak words of life, words of faith, words of hope, words of joy, and watch the reality you live in. Our words create the reality of our life. And we can either bring strength into our life, strength into our heart, strength into the people around us by speaking faith-filled words. The words we speak can either make us strong in the Lord and the people around us, or they can absolutely, totally weaken everybody around us. If we want to be strong in the Lord, then we've got to give thought to the words we speak. I'm going to ask musicians to come. And number 10, and this kind of leads us where I want us to go in the next week or two, praying in the Holy Spirit is a way to be made strong in the Lord. Praying in the Holy Spirit. It's a way to be made strong in the Lord. You know what? There, as you and I pray, and when we're talking about praying in the Holy Spirit, what we mean, and the New Testament understanding of this would have been praying in a prayer language, that when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, and we get the Holy Spirit living in us at salvation, but he comes upon us after salvation, a thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's some who are from a Baptist background, and so I'm going to just say a statement here that I think is really, really critical. A lot of times people say, well, you know, I think the baptism of the Holy Spirit is salvation. Now, let me explain it to you this way. Paul says this, we're baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. But that's not the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We're baptized by Jesus with the Holy Spirit. That's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Two different, totally different things. When the Holy Spirit baptizes us, you're going to speak in a language that you do not know. Could be Paul calls it the tongues of men and angels. So it could be a language that is on this earth that is currently existent. Could be a language that was spoken on this earth that is no longer in existence. Could be a language that is the tongues of angels. Could be just the language of your spirit. Because you're praying in the Spirit. He who prays in the Spirit, he prays with his Spirit, is the way Paul puts it. So it can be any one of those things. The point of the matter is you can't understand it, but it strengthens you. Let me just give you an example. You know, as a Spirit-filled believer, and as a pastor especially, I have found such strength by praying in the Spirit. Because what happens is, you know, Paul says, he who speaks in a tongue speaks to God and he utters mysteries with his spirit. You say, what's that mean? Well, a mystery in the New Testament is something that was formerly unknown but has now been revealed. So in the New Testament, mysteries are things that you didn't know but now you know. So how's that work practically? So like I'm facing a situation or there's a circumstance in the church or I'm needing wisdom and I'm just praying. I've prayed all I can in my human language. But I'm still burdening my heart. I begin to pray in the Spirit. And as I pray in the Spirit, more times than I can number, as I prayed in the Spirit, I've come out of that time suddenly understanding the situation in a new way, or finding myself just within a very short period of time having an understanding I didn't have before about the situation. Strengthened now to do God's will and to be his hand extended or to know what I couldn't have known otherwise. The Spirit strengthens. Jude says this in Jude 20. Jude was the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you, dear friends, carefully build yourselves up in this most holy faith by how? Praying in the Holy Spirit. And again, the New Testament understanding would have been praying in the Holy Spirit is praying with the prayer language. It's praying to the Lord as the Spirit prays through you to him. And there's a strengthening that comes into your life. Now, when we talk about that, there's some of you, and immediately you're thinking, well, you know what? I tried that, and I didn't receive it. And I'm saying, I'd be very careful about how I framed my experience relative to the things of God. I'd speak faith, not doubt. I would speak, you know, I would say, you know what? If God has it for me, then I want it, and I'm going to seek it. And I would not let a past experience that has been incomplete or unfulfilled determine my seeking of God for something Jesus calls a gift. And something Jesus said was so essential that he told the disciples, don't do anything until you are filled with the Spirit. Were they saved? Yes. Did they know him? Yes. Had they heard him preach? Yes. Had they healed people? Yes. And Jesus is saying, even though you've done all those things, don't do anything until you're filled with the Holy Spirit, because you need that strength from the Lord. I'm just saying, you know what, if you've not received over the next few weeks, it'd be a chance for you to receive. It'd be a chance for you to experience that overflowing. As your sons and daughters are at camp, they're going to come back. Many of them are going to have received, and it's going to be transformational in their life. It doesn't make them a spiritual giant. It doesn't make them instantly mature, but it is another tool in the toolbox of helping them walk with a strength and an anointing and a sensitivity to the working of the Lord in their life and through their life. So tonight, though, is, so I would say this. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, begin tonight in faith saying, God, I can't wait to receive. Not, God, I've never received and I've tried and I did. No. God, I can't wait to receive from you. I believe that you want to do things in my life that I haven't even begun to imagine. Lord, I want to receive. And you know what I would tell you to do? Start reading the book of Acts. Read what it says. Just start reading through the book of Acts over the next few days. And every time you come to a mention of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, people receiving the Holy Spirit, then I just encourage you to just say, Lord, just stop right there and say, Lord, that's what I'm seeking you for. And I can't wait to see how you're going to give it to me. You may find yourself in that moment speaking in tongues. And I'm just telling you, it would be wonderful. I could not do what I do if I weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you. You say, what about Billy Graham? Well, you know what? You're not Billy Graham. I'm not Billy Graham. So let's leave Billy Graham out of the discussion, okay? When people say that, I'm like, what? Where did he come from? I mean, great man of God, but you're not him and neither am I. So you need it. I need it. And the Bible talks about it. So again, you know, it's like we talk Sunday morning. Let's get that second touch, right? Let's let God touch us. Let's let God do a work in us.